May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you have conversations in your house like I do in mine? Darren will be cooking dinner in the kitchen and shout through to me in the lounge with his head buried in the fridge. I won't hear him properly because he is speaking to the fridge, not me, and I'm a bit deaf. So I get up and go into the kitchen. He will turn around and ask me to my face now, and I have about half a minute to hear him before the fridge starts beeping to let us know the door has been left open. Did you get garlic when you went shopping? Yes. So where is it? You were right. It's in the fridge. No, it's not. I've looked in the fridge. Are you sure you remembered to buy it? Yes. Will you look for it? I take over at the open fridge and hand him the garlic as the fridge starts to protest. And I'm tempted to say to you now, why can't men look for things properly? But then I remember the other sort of conversation we have in our house. I walk up and down the stairs and from room to room looking for something. And then I come into the lounge and he says to me, what are you looking for? And I'll say, my glasses. And he'll say, they're on your head. Neither of us could see what was under our nose. And that is sort of what today's readings are about. Firstly, I'm not preaching on the Acts passage. We are supposed to have it read today according to the lectionary. But the gospel passage for today in the lectionary is too yummy. It contains one of my favourite verses. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. This has been described as what the truth is that sets us free, by which we have unspeakable joy and partake of Zoe life. John's Gospel is very special. It is the book that was written last out of all the other books in the canon. And John has got references all over it to God as love and to the relationship within the Trinity that overflows and embraces us. Here, John shares Jesus' words to his disciples on the evening before he begins his journey of arrest, torture, trial, execution, and death. He was explaining what this journey is all about and what it will achieve. He was providing comfort to them before he was wrenched from them. He said, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. He was explaining that he will die and rise from the dead, bringing humanity with him. He was explaining that after his ascension, he will not be visible in the ordinary worldly way, but he will be visible through Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, Paul explains the phenomenon of Pentecost by referring to the prophecy of Joel, where he foretold that God's Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. So going back to Jesus' words in today's reading from John, what did the Holy Spirit do for the people on whom she was poured out? She helped them to see. She helped them to see what they had not seen for ages, that they were joined in loving union with the Trinity. It took Jesus' death and resurrection and the pouring out of Holy Spirit on all flesh to realise that our delusion of separation from God could be set aside. If we could really see that we are all included in the bosom of the Trinity, within that love, that hope, that promised happy ever after, wouldn't that be the truth that sets us free? So like the garlic in the fridge and the glasses on my head, the thing we were looking for was there all along. Jesus was within us, and we hadn't noticed. Sometimes it takes a special encounter, a great sadness, a huge love, or a sudden jolt for us to notice. But we all have him there to discover. And that's what happened to Paul. Now, as Paul explained in a number of places throughout the Bible, he was a proper religious job's worth when it came to God. Only those that kept the law perfectly would find favour with God and be saved. That ruled out everyone except strictly observant Jews. And it certainly ruled out those following the way of Jesus. Saul went after them and rounded them up for execution. Now, pride comes before a fall, and Saul fell. You might remember he had an experience on the way to Damascus. And in today's reading from Galatians, we read at verse 15 and 16, God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I may preach him among the Gentiles. Jesus was even in Saul as he was holding the coats when the people stoned Stephen. God was kind enough to reveal that Jesus was already within Saul through the vision within which he had on the Damascus road. God helped him see Jesus within and gave him new direction in life as Paul, one of the greatest Jesus freaks who ever lived. And of course, we mustn't forget the incident with Pineapple Man. That's what I call the man who helped Saul to see again after his temporary blindness. You might know him as Ananias. I call him Pineapple because his name is like the French word for pineapple. Go and listen later on Google Translate if you don't believe me. Anyway, Pineapple Man is told by God to go and lay hands on Saul's blind eyes. He does. And the scales fall away. The scales falling away struck me afresh this week as I was preparing for today. The scales of delusion were removed from his second sight as soon as Saul saw Jesus within himself. So why did he have scales over his actual eyes? I daydreamed on this one, and I think Jesus gave me a new understanding. He was being given a way, a new way, of seeing outwards as well as inwards. Like Peter's vision of a banquet leading him to understand that nothing was unclean, maybe Paul's new vision helped him to see with Jesus' eyes of love that no one was unloved. And Paul went everywhere saying no one was left out. Everyone could see Jesus within. We could all have a restored vision of our divine connection in and through the risen Christ. So it continues today. We have Jesus within. All the time, everywhere we go, we are never alone. And the magic of Holy Spirit is that while ever Jesus is within you, he is within me and within every one of them. The challenge of discipleship is to get our ego and our religious dogma out of the way enough to notice him and to listen and to follow and maybe have a laugh with him about garlic and glasses and pineapples. We'll talk some more about this, I'm sure. Amen.